Well, we've been looking at Ephesians over these past few weeks, 6 weeks to be precise. And last week we talked about how we can withstand, how we ought to withstand the devil, right? And all that Satan is doing against this church. And you saw that in Ephesians chapter 6. Hey, David and Priyanka, good to see you guys. Welcome. Great to have you. Sorry to make that little bit of a detour, but that's what we've been looking at. Last week, Ephesians chapter 6, that's what we saw. And we saw that we ought to be strong in the Lord. I gave you 4 points from the scriptures that we ought to be strong in the Lord, that we ought to be aware of our enemy. We don't want to mix up who our enemy is, and we saw very clearly in the scriptures. We saw that we ought to be equipping ourselves with the proper armor. You don't want to wear the wrong armor for the battle, the spiritual battle that we're to fight. And then we saw that we ought to be praying at all times, in all situations. And so we looked at each of those, and we spent a little bit of time on the last one. And a couple of people came up to me afterwards and said, you should have spent more time talking about prayer. And so I said, great, let's do that this morning. And so we're going to spend this morning looking at prayer. And we'll spend our time in Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 18 through to verse 20. So turn with me to Ephesians. We're going to stay in Ephesians one more Sunday, and we're going to look at Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. All right, if you open your Bibles over there, then we'll look, take a look at that. Here's what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. So he's talked about the whole armor of God, and then he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. That's the verse, those few verses that we want to spend our time looking at this morning, focusing on prayer as being a vital part of the spiritual armor that we're putting on. Remember, we're putting on things like the helmet of salvation and the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet fitted with the gospel of peace, and taking up the sword of the Spirit. And then he says, praying at all times. And we don't want to miss this out. This is absolutely crucial if you and I are to withstand what Satan is doing to us and against the church. Then we've got to be a praying people. Remember, Ephesians chapter 6, 11 tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and or rulers and authorities, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's who our battle is against. It's not against people. Just remember that. We talked about this last week. Your battle is not against people. It's not against your spouse. It's not against a church member or a neighbor or a colleague at work. Your battle is against Satan. And Satan uses people. Of course, he uses their mouths all the time. But your battle and my battle ultimately is against Satan. And he's doing everything that he can to draw us away from God, to destroy our peace and our joy in life. He's doing absolutely everything he can to take that away from us. And so prayer is vital to withstanding what Satan brings against us. I like what Max Lucado writes. He says, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. You got that? The power of prayer is in the one who hears it, not in the one who prays it. And so your prayer makes a difference. As feeble and as ordinary as you feel it might be, God hears it, and that's what makes all the difference. Oswald Chambers says, prayer does not fit us or does not prepare us for greater work. Prayer is the greater work. You got that? Prayer is the greater work. That's the greater work of the Christian life. If you are a praying Christian, my goodness, what a powerful Christian you will be. You will be. If you're on your knees in the presence of God, Satan cannot withstand that kind of communion and fellowship with God. But why don't Christians pray? Why do you struggle with prayer? Why do I struggle with prayer? And even as I preach about prayer, I know my own struggle with it and my own difficulty with it. And I think sometimes we don't take Ephesians 6, 10 to 20 seriously. We don't take the idea that it communicates to us that we are in fact in a spiritual battle over here. We're far too comfortable with this world. We're so accommodating with the way the world works and the system of the world and the way the world thinks that we don't realize, we don't think that we are actually in wartime. We're not in peacetime. We are at war. Not against other people, not against other religions, but against Satan himself. But we don't think about that. And so we're very comfortable, you know, cruising through life, doing all that we can to accomplish goals and ambitions. We've got all these things planned out for our life. In cruise mode, we're not in a wartime mentality when it comes to living in this world. You see, a soldier in battle is on high alert. He's aware of every twig that snaps, every leaf that rustles, every sound in the jungle as he's making his way through. He's absolutely alert to every sound, every movement his eye catches. That's a soldier who's alert. But a soldier who's not alert is a dead soldier. He's a dead soldier because he's not paying attention to what's going around him. And this is what the Christian life is to be about. It's about Christians being alert. And Paul's going to talk about that when he talks about prayer. He talks about being alert, being aware, being ready. Put it another way, you know, when you're traveling on a train, most of you have been on trains, you know, long train journeys in India. And I remember when the kids were younger, especially, we went to Kerala or wherever we went, and it was a long journey, 48 hours. I didn't sleep on the train because you're aware, you're constantly, I'm like that soldier in battle, you know, because I've got to protect my kids. No one should lay a hand on them. And so the nights I'm sitting up and just keeping an eye, watching over them, making sure that they're safe because I don't want anybody walking through. And anybody comes, you know how they do it, right? They'll come and sit on the seat. And then they'll slowly edge their way in and they try and get a berth over there to sleep. And I'm like, no way. Get off, you know, because I'm alert. And when you're on a train, you keep your wallet and your phone and your money and your precious belongings under your head. As uncomfortable as that pillow is, and the laptop, the hard laptop, you'd still sleep on it. Because you are alert. You're in wartime mentality. But when you get home, my goodness, we can relax. We can just throw everything off and we can be totally cool, totally comfortable. But here's the point that I'm making. As Christians, we are not home yet. This is not home. This is not home. This is enemy territory, if you like. And Satan is waging a war against the people of God. And Jesus talks about this. He says this in Matthew 16. He says, you know, I will build my church and even the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. But the gates of Hades are going to come against the church. And the Bible makes it clear. We talked about it last week. We talked about that. We're in a wartime. We got to have a wartime mentality. We got to be ready. We got to be alert. Prayer has always been something that the people of God did. In the Old Testament, you have the Psalms. The Psalms, it's a book of song, but a book of prayer as well. The largest book in the Bible is about these petitions that God's people are making to God. It's about prayer. It's always been about it. You think about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much time Jesus, the Son of God, spent time in prayer. After long days, longer than the days that you and I have, he went away and he prayed because he felt that that was absolutely vital and essential to his own spiritual life, to spend time with his Father. Jesus prayed. And so we want to spend some time looking at the importance of prayer. And so I'm going to give you a few things from these verses. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. Just a few things that Paul says about how we ought to pray and why we ought to pray from just verses 18, 19, and 20. All right? Ready to go? So let's look at these one by one. All right? So here's how he begins. Verse 18, he says, that we ought to be praying at all times. So when we talk about prayer, number one, we want to be praying at all times. Praying at all times. You and I as Christians, we're called to be praying at all times. And you can take this in a couple of different ways. One is that we ought to be praying as we go through our day. As we go through our day. And we have lots of time to pray, actually, if you think about it. We spend a lot of time thinking about lots of other things, but we could employ that in prayer. When you're traveling on the metro, when you're walking to the metro station, or when you're just waiting for a meeting to take place, good opportunities for you and I to be praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without... Oh wow, you know this. You know it. Fantastic. Do it now, right? Pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. Don't give up in that sense on prayer. Just keep praying as you have opportunity. Go through your day and pray. Your prayer, and this is the privilege we have. Our prayer is not restricted to a particular day or to particular times of the day or a particular place. God allows us to pray at all times, wherever we are, whenever we can, open our mouths and pray. God is willing to listen to our prayers. What a privilege we have. But another way to think of all times is that we would pray in all circumstances, in all situations. Learn to pray in all situations, right? And there are good situations, there are bad, there are highs and there are lows. In every situation, keep your communication lines open with God and talk to Him. Amazing. Amazing that God is inclined to your prayer. Even our children don't have that privilege with us. Think about it. How many times your children come running to you, dad, 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 and you're like, wait a minute. I'm on the phone, or I'm attending to an email, or I'm on a call. Even your children don't have that kind of privilege to come to you because you're busy. And sometimes, hey, you are. But with God, anytime you go into the presence of God, anytime, God listens to you. And He delights in listening to the prayers of His people. He delights in it. He loves it. He absolutely delights in us going to Him in prayer. So pray at all times. Pray at all times. Number two. All right, number two. We want to pray in the Spirit. Look at what he says over here. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So here's instruction about prayer. Right? Pray at all times in the Spirit. This is important. This is important. What does he mean by praying in the Spirit? Now, if you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I think, are you putting that? Okay, there we go. Romans 8, 26. Paul writes about prayer in the Spirit. He says over here, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And then look at verse 27. And he says over here that the Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. According to the will of God. I love this. You see, the Spirit of God indwells every believer. You know this, right? He's God Himself in us. The Spirit is here and He's indwelling us. And He prays on our behalf for things we do not even know we ought to pray for. He prays for us. There's a wonderful intimacy that is happening as a believer prays. The Spirit of God prays. And the verse continues. It says, He who searches the mind knows all things because He knows the mind of the Spirit. God knows His Spirit because it is the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God intercedes for us, just imagine that kind of fellowship and communion that you and I have with God through the Spirit. So that's one way to understand what Paul is saying over here. Is to pray in the Spirit means to understand the presence of the Spirit of God in your life, praying and interceding for you, even for the things you don't know you ought to pray for. That's the level, that's the depth of intimacy God invites us into. You see, the natural man, 1 Corinthians says, the natural man, the man of the flesh who doesn't have the Spirit of God, cannot understand the things of God. But the spiritual man, meaning the person who has the Spirit, is able to enjoy spiritual things because he's spiritually discerned. He gets it. We have fellowship with God through the Spirit. And that's what he's talking about over here. Prayer is that kind of intimate fellowship with God that is possible only through the Spirit of God who indwells us. Otherwise, it's going to be empty in that sense. But here's another way to also think about praying in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit means to pray according to the will of God. To pray according to the will of God. Not to pray according to the will of the flesh. What I think and feel I should be praying for in that sense. But rather to pray according to the will of God. That's what we want to be doing. We want to be praying in accordance with God's will. That's why Jesus taught us to pray. And he said, pray like this. He says, he didn't say, let me read this for you. We are called to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will be done in heaven. You got that? Thy will be done on earth, not my will be done in heaven. That's what we want to pray for. And when we pray like that, we are praying in the Spirit according to the will of God. You want to pray for God's will to be done in your life. All right, so then Paul goes on in verse 18. He says, praying at all times, praying in the Spirit. And then he says, with all prayer and supplication. Here's the third aspect of prayer. That we would pray with all kinds of prayer. That's what I take that to mean. 1 Timothy that we read a little bit earlier, 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul writes, he says that I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. So you have all kinds of prayers. Supplications means that we petition God. We ask God for things. That comes easy to us, right? We ask God for things. And then you have intercessions, meaning we pray for other people on their behalf, right? This is a good time for us to pray for other people in our country. You got to pray for our country. Pray on their behalf for peace. And then he talks about thanksgivings. And I love this. This is an important part of prayer, that we would learn to give thanks in all circumstances. This is an important one. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:7, he says, pray without ceasing. And then give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That we ought to learn to give thanks in all circumstances. Now you tell me, when you pray, be honest over here, think about it. You don't have to answer. But when you pray, what do you usually pray for? Lord, I need this. You know that, right? I do this as well. Help me with this, help me with that, give me this, give me that. I need this job, I need this, these finances, I need to pay off this, I need to do this. And so it's all supplication. It's all about asking God for things from God. And that's fine. You want to ask God for things. But that's where our prayer begins and our prayer ends. And what the scriptures are urging us in this is that we would pray with thanksgiving also. Here's the important point about thanksgiving. When you thank God in prayer, you are saying that you are happy and content in God. That's what you're saying. And you know what? Satan doesn't want you to be happy and content in God. He doesn't want that. He did this with Adam and Eve in the beginning. He says, you know what? I think God is keeping something from you. I think God doesn't want you to be happy. If you eat the fruit, you'll know real happiness. He wants you to think that God is selfish and keeping joy from you. But when you and I, even in difficult times, can go to God and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for life itself, and I thank you even for some of the stuff that I'm going through, because I know you're good. Every single time we do that, it's a reminder to Satan that he has no power in your life. Because we're so prone, like the Israelites in the wilderness, to grumble, grumble, grumble about life. All we do is grumble. But the way to combat that grumbling is to give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. To be people of thanksgiving. Don't let your prayer to be only about asking God for yourself. Pray and thank God and pray for other people, like all those things, intercession, thanksgivings, supplications, do that for other people as well. So there you have it, three observations about prayer. Praying at all times, praying in the Spirit, praying with all kinds of prayers. And then he says in the fourth one, to that end, meaning as you continue in prayer, keep alert. Be alert in your prayer. Be alert in your prayer. This reminds me of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that story, right? He took Peter, James, and John, and they must have felt really good. You know, these three guys are getting taken along. And he says, you wait over here and watch and pray, and I'm going to go a little bit ahead, and I'm going to pray. And so Jesus goes off. And I think he spends about an hour in prayer, and he comes back. And what are Peter, James, and John doing? Ever dozed off in your prayer? Be honest. Right? Ever dozed off in your prayer? I have. You know, you're praying, and then I remember one time some years ago, I was praying. We were having family prayer, and there was someone with us, and I was praying and praying, and I finished, and this other person dozed off in my prayer. And so I said, Amen, and this person is out. And then I kind of woke them up, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. That's never happened to me. That's what they said. And I'm like, that's more a reflection on my long prayer than them. But you know how it is, right? Sometimes we doze off in prayer. And what I mean by that is not simply that we sleep off in prayer, but that we aren't really thoughtful about our prayer. In fact, a lot of our prayer life is in the morning before rushing off to work, right? We do this with our kids. We stand in the living room, and sometimes we're on the way out also, and we're like, Lord, help the kids today as they go to school. Be with them, bless them, bring them back safe. Boom, they're off. And then they come back home, and then we sit down and we have lunch or we have dinner. And again, it's, Lord, thank you so much for this food. Bless mom who's prepared this food. Done. And that's how we pray. It's not something that we're almost unconscious when we pray like that. We're not thinking about prayer. And you know what? That amounts to not being alert in prayer. It amounts to not being conscious of your prayer life and the words that are going out of your mouth. It amounts to that. And Jesus said to these, Peter, James, and John, he says, you know, watch and pray. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 38, he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we are not alert in prayer. And if we are not alert in prayer, we are weak when temptation comes our way. And you think about it. Peter, James, and John, along with all the other disciples, when tempted in a situation, left the Lord Jesus and went the other way because they were weak in that moment. If you and I are not going to be alert in our prayer, conscious about what we are praying, how we are praying, like taking the time to think through our prayer life, we're going to be caught off. Satan's going to get us. And I don't think God delights in those thoughtless prayers that we shoot up. You can shoot short prayers to God. No problem with that. Lord, help me. I need your help right now. No problem with that. But if you don't think about your words when you're praying, it doesn't matter that you prayed, because they're just words. It doesn't matter to God. And so you want to be alert when you are praying. Right? That's what he's talking about over here. Let's look at the fifth one. So you have praying at all times, praying in the Spirit, praying all kinds of prayer, being alert in prayer. And then he says, persevere in prayer. Be alert with all perseverance. Persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Sometimes we give up in prayer, don't we? In fact, probably more often than it should be. We're praying for something and nothing is happening. And so we think, what's the point of praying? You know, just give up. And we don't continue in prayer. And you know, Jesus teaches us to persevere in prayer. In Luke chapter 18, he tells us a story of a widow who goes before a judge to plead her case. And I love the way Luke introduces that story. He says in Luke 18:1, and he told them, as Jesus told them a parable, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So he told them a parable that they should not lose heart in their prayer. And here's how the story went. The story is of this widow who goes before this judge. And the description of the judge is as someone who doesn't fear God and doesn't fear man. Meaning this guy doesn't care about anybody else. Where is he going to care about a widow? That's the point, right? And this widow, she just keeps coming back after him. Week after week, she comes back to this judge to plead her case to grant, have him grant her wish. And finally, this judge is so fed up with her. And he says, even though I don't fear God or I don't fear man, and definitely not this widow, I'm going to give her what she wants because she keeps coming after me. And then Jesus says, if an unrighteous judge can give this poor widow her desire or give her justice, how much more will God give his children their requests and their pleadings? How much more will God not hear the cry of his children? That's what Jesus is telling us. He says, never give up in prayer. Now, I don't know why God takes time for some matters in your life. I don't know why. There may be things God is doing in your life. There may be areas of sin that God wants to reveal. There may be patience that God is developing in your life. There may be a number of things that God wants to do in your life. I don't know why he delays. But here's what I do know. I know that God is good. And I know that God is powerful and able to fulfill his will in your life. And even your prayers, God may be willing to fulfill. I don't doubt that for myself and for you. And so never give up in prayer. Never give up in prayer. Keep praying for all kinds of situations and circumstances. And I know, you know, there are difficult relationships in this church. There are difficult marriages. There are difficult homes. There are difficult places of work that you have and tasks that are faced with you. Don't give up praying for those things. Don't ever give up praying for those things. God will see you through it. Somehow or the other, he will see you through it. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Satan wants you to give up. He wants you to say, chuck it all, you know, do it your own way, use your own wisdom, find a way yourself. Don't do that. You trust God. Always trust God and stay within his will and purpose for your life. It's the best way to go. All right. So there you have it. Persevere in prayer. And then number six, he says over here, making supplication for all the saints. Making supplication for all the saints. Here's another aspect of prayer, that we would be praying for all the saints, brothers and sisters in Christ. I know we don't feel like saints. Like, saints is such a big word. How can you call me a saint, you know? Such a holy word. Maybe you look at the other person and say, oh, definitely not a saint, you know? But the Bible says that we are saints. Not because we are great people, but because of the righteousness of Christ. But he says, pray for all the saints. Here in this church, in the churches around India and around the world, pray for believers. Pray for them. And he says that you would make supplication for all the saints. When you pray for other believers, it unites you to them. When you pray for them. When you pray for other believers, it strengthens them. It has a tremendous effect on their life. When you pray for other believers, it gives them hope. When you pray for other believers, it restores their faith when they are struggling. You know, over this campaign, we've been through these 40 days. A couple of times over this campaign, I think two Sundays, I asked you to note down five people and pray for them. And you did that. And hopefully, maybe you told them, maybe you didn't, but hopefully you prayed for them. Now that was just an exercise to get you started. Don't stop there. In fact, I would encourage you every Sunday when you come, quietly note down five people in the church here, right? That you probably never prayed for, you don't even know maybe. Note them, their names down, and pray for them in the week. And if you can, let them know. It's a good thing to let them know that you're praying for them. I love it when people message and call and say, you know, we're praying for you, Chandran. We're praying for you, Pastor. Well, may the Lord encourage you. And I love it. And I think you love it when people say, hey, you know what, I'm praying for you. It gives me so much of courage. So much of it just lifts my spirit when I know that people are praying for me. It's amazing what it does. And so I encourage you to keep doing that Sunday after Sunday. And when you do that, you know, it shows people that you're thinking of them. Isn't it? When you're praying for them, it shows them that you're thinking of them. That's a great way to express your love and your care for them. It shows them that you care for them. It shows them that you want God's blessings on them. But pray. And even in the church community, hey, we're all imperfect people and we have trouble with each other from time to time. The scriptures call us to pray for our enemies. And if you consider another brother or sister an enemy, hey, pray for them. Pray for them. Don't give up in prayer, but keep praying for them. And finally, we'll finish with this one. Paul writes over here, and this is verses 19 and 20. Alright, so the other 6 points came from verse 18. So lots about prayer that you can take away. And then in verses 19 and 20, here's what Paul writes. He says, as you're praying for all the saints, pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Here's the final one, that you and I would be praying for the spread and the increase of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, mankind has no hope. No hope. Underline it. No hope outside of the person and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our country has no hope outside of the person of Christ. And I say this in a country where there are multiple religions and multiple faiths, and I'm not afraid to say it because that's the truth. There is no hope outside of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anything to happen in our country, good. As much as we want to, you know, support each other and be peaceful and do all of these things and everybody come together, that's all fine. We must do that as Christians. Never are we as Christians called to violence or to put other people down. Never. But we must believe and understand that only Jesus is the hope for our nation. Only Jesus. Only He can change a hard, unbelieving heart. An evil heart that despises other people, that works injustice in our nation. Only Jesus can change a heart like that. Like He did with Saul. Made him a Paul. Only Jesus can do that. And only He can change our country. And if there's, as much as you and I do everything we do in our nation to build it and to make it a peaceful nation, we must pray for the spread and the increase of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through violence, not through coercion, not through forceful conversions that we often get accused of. Nothing of that sort. We've got to pray for boldness to open our mouths and to proclaim the gospel of Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the hope for your life, then you've got to believe that Jesus is the hope for the person next to you. And you've got to proclaim it. You cannot possibly live in the societies you live in and in the places that you work and not speak about Jesus Christ and expect anything to change. You can't do that. Jesus is the hope for our world. It is the hope. He is the hope for our nation. And Paul says, as you're praying for all these things, pray that I would have boldness to proclaim the gospel. And that is a good prayer for us. That we would have boldness to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the gospel would spread and increase even as God's people boldly speak of Him. Do you pray for this? Do you pray for this? If you could even put away all the other things and pray for this intentionally and earnestly, That's got to be something. And we're living in difficult times. We're living in difficult times. And I love that passage that we started off with. And I want to read it again, because I want you to see what Paul is saying in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. Here's what he says. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Not some people, but for all people. For kings and all who are in high positions. And here's the reason why we should be praying. He says that so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. That's what our prayer can work towards. You want peace and dignity? Pray for it. Pray for those in authority. Pray for all people. And then he says in verse 3, this is good. And I think he's talking about prayer over here, right? This is good, that we should be praying. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. And then look at what he says. Who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Absolutely clear. And so when you and I are praying for boldness to proclaim the gospel, we're praying that all people would come to know this one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's changed your life, and he can change another person's life, and he can change our country. We've got to be praying for that. My prayer is that, you know, as we go through this, as we've listened this morning, that we would take prayer much more seriously than we do. And if we only understand that we're in the midst of a battle, this is not peacetime. This is wartime. You cannot continue to be comfortable with the world, cruising through it. You've got to understand that you've got to be alert in prayer, because this is wartime. And we've got to be persevering in prayer. We've got to be praying for all the saints. We've got to be praying all kinds of prayers. We've got to be praying at all times in the Spirit. That's what Paul is talking about. Let me read a small little poem that I have, and we'll close with this. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have the time to pray. Troubles just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, why, child, you didn't knock? I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I called on the Lord for the reason. He said, you didn't seek. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take the time to pray. May God help us to be a praying community, a praying people. That's what needs to stand out about the people of God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to us and for the scriptures that speak to us of the importance of prayer. In fact, it is absolutely crucial and vital to the Christian life and the health of it. So Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we've heard this morning. And I pray again that it wouldn't be mere words that we have listened to, but it would in fact be something that brings conviction into our hearts about the importance of prayer and how vital prayer is to change us and to change the world we live in. So help us, oh God, to be a praying community. Help DBF Dwarka to be a church that people look in on and say, oh, that's a praying church, because we're characterized by that. And so, Lord, we just humbly submit this into your hands at this time. And we thank you so much, Lord, again, for ministering your word to us through your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.